The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
We're still on our series, The Transforming Power of Honor. Why are we taking time to talk about honor? Because one of the cultures we push here is the culture of honor. The template here is that on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we say it's about releasing people who have the cure for desert places, who will go and cure desert places wherever they find themselves. We must get to that level where we will now begin to say, how does heaven do honor? How does heaven do the supernatural? How does heaven see the prophetic, the culture of generosity? And this is why we are pushing for it. Because one of the things I see is that most times we don't even move in honor. Especially we think that we respect people, but when we look at it in depth, you find out that that respect may be an arrangement. I respect you because you have power over me. I respect you maybe because you are the one paying my school fees, you are the one taking the bills. But will I respect you if I have more power than you? Will I respect you if you have, or if you have failed, you have a moral failure? Will I still honor you? Honor is not a one-way street. It's a two-way. Where you give honor, that is the basic honor we talk here. It's not about saying, honor me, no. The kingdom honor is that I give honor. Looking at God, he gathered his sons and the devil came. Devil is adversary, the one that was trying to take his position. And he asked him, where have you been? I'm not sure some of us can. If we were God, how would we treat devil? And he appeared. The person that is the owner of the well, a woman and the well, and he said, can I have a drink? The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Can I have a drink? When I see the way Jesus operated, it's amazing. He saw people that caught a woman in the very act of adultery, who only arrested one and left the other person to escape. He didn't accuse them for saying, you people are liars, you people are not good. And he didn't look at the other woman and say, you see now, you will die today. He just looked at them and said, if you have never had any desire to sin, be the first to cast the stone. And when they left, he looked at the woman and said, this thing that you are doing, go on and sin no more. I do not condemn you. What an honoring person. And the greatest model we can actually follow is Jesus. Jesus came to show us the heart of the Father. He said, everything you have revealed to me, I have also revealed to them. He came to show us how loving God is. And so today, let's read from scriptures. Daniel chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Two scriptures I want to read. It says, this is the dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. For you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversary. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, the Passion Translation. It says, recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. Today I want to speak about hosting the culture of honor. Hosting the culture of honor. Daniel was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar as a teenager. And Daniel was put into service, to serve a pagan king. And Daniel was now converted to a eunuch by this same king, who may have killed his father and mother and some of his relatives. And this same king now has a dream. And the dream is against the king. Because God has decided to judge the king. If you are in Daniel's shoes, how will you interpret the dream? And the funniest thing is that he is not calling Daniel his God's name, Belshazzar. It's like somebody changing Derek's name and say Derek Ogun, because he sees Derek as somebody behaving like his God. That's why I say the spirit of Holy Ghost, the way Belshazzar used to do, Daniel, that's how you do. So there's no need to call you Daniel, it's to call you. He did all this thing to Daniel, and Daniel wanted to interpret a dream, and he said, I wish this thing was for your enemies. I'm not sure if you were Daniel, what would you tell them? Say, now God catch you today. Every day for the thief. Do me, I do you. And now I know this scripture. The way you replied me is a philosophy. The same way Apostle Peter was writing to the church in Rome and was telling them, recognize the value of everybody. Every person created in the image of God has value. Every person. Every person. He said, recognize the value of God. Another translation says, honor everybody. What is honor? Honor affirms value. People call you, you even see the call, you don't even respond back. It's the way you see the person. When you don't value somebody, you can't even honor the person. And for us, I only value you when you have something to add to my life. But in God's perspective, as long as you are created in the image of God, you should be valued. So, how do we know? Then he now said, love every believer. The foundation of honor is love. What you don't love, you can't honor. And Jesus, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We must get to that level where we'll begin to honor people. The Bible says, let us make man, Genesis chapter 1, in our own image and likeness. In other words, our own image is about, let us make man to have relationship like we have relationship amongst us, the Trinity. Culture is not a one-off event. The fact that I preach about generosity to you now, I preach about giving to you, you close your bank account and go and give to somebody, or you give to a cause, and the next time you want to give again is 2 years' time, or 2 months' time, or 6 months' time. That's not a culture. It's a one-off event. It's a one-off transaction. We're talking about that. What is culture? Culture then is developed when a repeated action becomes our normal reaction. When a repeated action, somebody insults you and you are smiling and say, God bless you. And it's not only one-off, it's just that it becomes your repeated action. The person who has gossiped you, and you know the person that has gossiped you, and the person comes and you open up your arms wide and you give the person a hug. Why? Because there's something inside of you called the culture of joy. There's something inside of you called the culture of honor. It's your repeated action becomes your normal reaction. That anywhere you get to, you receive your earnings. The Bible says, when you harvest your feet, do not glean the corners of the feet. Leave it for the orphans, the widows, the strangers, so that they can eat. That means that in modern times, if you harvest your money at the end of the month, if you get any income, all of them is not for you. That's what it means. The truth of the matter is that the welfare system, according to God's system, he put it in his children. Government has no power for welfare. That's why Jerusalem could not understand how the culture of the believers pervaded everywhere, and they said, you have turned Jerusalem upside down. Why? Because it's all about culture. We need to develop this culture called honor. That means that the more I know you, the more I should value you. You know, there's a tendency for that. If you don't know somebody, you value the person. You have high respect and regard for the person. The more you see the person, say, wait, I want to sing. It's part of our culture, although it's silent. We keep good plate for the people that you don't know. And leave the bad ones because they will break it when they use it. But if the stranger comes to break it, so I say, don't worry. No, don't worry. And so how do we cultivate this culture? And what I'm going to share to you today is what you can use for any other one. But specifically, we are looking at the culture of honor. The culture of honor. I need to respect you even if I have power than you. And most times when people respect you, that you feel that, you say, they greet me now. Have you heard that thing before? Say that small boy now. And that's why when they tell you that one, you stop greeting the people. Because you actually believe the person that greets is smaller than the person that receives. Have you not heard that it's more blessed? Or you think it's only money? That's the problem. It's more blessed to give honor than to receive honor. It's more blessed to give joy than to receive. In any way, the first thing I want you to do is setting our mind on things above. How do you cultivate this culture? The culture of honor that is a two-way street is not in any local culture. Because most of our culture is honor fathers. In fact, there's a culture that even if your elders fart near you, you tell them thank you. A man just disgraced himself, you say thank you. We need to value elders. And that's why Apostle Paul took it in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, honor your father and mother. This is the only command we promise, and you shall have good long life. You know what he now said? Parents, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not. Same thing, pastors. Honor your leaders, those that are above you, those God has sent to be the head of the church, the ones that the governmental force will honor them. Also, the ones who are the governmental leaders of the church, do not provoke people to anger. Same thing. Two-way street. We need to now start setting our mind on things above. The Bible says we are seated with Christ Jesus far above principalities and powers. Is that not true? That means that if I have a three-story building, if the person is on the down floor, he sees differently than the one on the topmost floor. The one on the topmost floor has a clearer view. True of us. True of us. That means when you begin to set your mind on the things that is earthly, that's where the problem comes. You know when you talk about honor, they'll say, my brother, Niger, you day. All this one that your pastor is preaching, can't work. Have you heard it before? What you are trying to tell me is that the word of God cannot work. It only works in some setting. So what you are trying to tell me is that the word of God is not powerful. The word of God has some defects. No. Set your minds on the things above. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. My position is at the right hand of God. I am there. So I need to set my mind, seek those things which are above. I seek them with my heart. I seek those things with my heart. God, what are you doing now? That's what I want to do. When I see a problem in my family, God, what are you doing now? When I see a problem in my nation, God, what are you doing now? Because I'm not sure God is in heaven stranded and say, this Niger, we have done everything. Let's leave them. No light, nothing. They have all the resources. What's happening? I'm not sure God is stranded like that. But many of us believe that this country is past redemption. True of us. We believe that because why? Our mind is set on things that are under. He said like that. There was one time in France, their bedroom, and everything was one room. I mean France. And they were wondering why they were falling sick. Why? At that same point, in Benin City, there was underground drainage. And our wall was four times longer than the wall of China. What went wrong? What went wrong can still go right if only people seek the things above. In verse 2 and 3, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, even if I seek, and God is saying, you know what, I can take care of it. I can take care of it. I can take care of it. You have a prophetic word. You know what I would do? It's now saying, let what I'm telling you, put your mind in it. Set it. When they say set, that means that it's like concrete. You cast it, you put it there. That means nothing shakes you. Somebody said there's a casting, I said no, there's a lifting up. He said, how do you know? He said, because I know that he will come true for me. Most times, you know what we'll concentrate on what God is not doing. If you concentrate what God is doing in your life, you'll be happy. But the devil will tell you, in a life you did so. Verse 3 says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For your life is hidden with Christ with God. When I had that dream, I knew that God does not speak with fear. So I woke up afraid and I asked the Holy Spirit, the greater interpreter of dream, what's going on now? He said, did you quench the fire? I said, no. I now complained. You know you must talk now. But the property was gone. He said, can I not restore? I can. And we must get to that level where I need to set my mind on the things of God. Look at what Jesus was now telling his disciples. The same chapter. Who do men say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, no, for you are cool. Flesh and blood did not reveal you, but my Father in heaven. The next same chapter, Peter came down from upstairs. That's why you have to be careful. Today you are highly supernatural. When you be talking, you'll be giving wisdom's keys. You begin to see this thing. The next day, if you are not, you are a living sacrifice. Put snail in this room now. Put them in one place. You won't see them after 2 days. Some will be in the ceiling. Some will be somewhere. Some will, you don't even know where they entered. They would have entered inside the camera. You won't know. The truth of it is that you are a living sacrifice, so you have the tendency to crawl. And so you must sit on that seat. Peter came down, and Jesus said, you know what? I'm the Christ, and you know what Christ came to do? I believe that's what the scripture... Now I want to die. Ah. This whole thing that is happening here, our name is everywhere. I'm your right-hand man. Ministry is moving forward. We have not even built the panel inside. You say you want to die. No. You can't die. He took God aside and started rebuking God. How many of you have rebuked God? We are now advising God. Say, God, you don't know what is going on in this country. That's why you are talking like that. You don't know what it is. He rebuked God, and God said, you know what he said? He said, he spoke plainly about this, verse 32, Mark 8. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. A man rebuking God. Verse 33, he said, but when Jesus turned and looked at the disciple, he rebuked Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. Car. Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Just imagine you are advising me now and I look at you and say, get thee behind me, Satan. What will you do? You'll be angry. Won't you be angry? Why did he call Peter Satan? He said, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. When the things of men are in your heart, you are Satan. Sorry. Please, read it. So that you will not say I'm the one. Read it. Because the way you are looking at me, say, Pastor, I've called me Satan. No. I didn't call you Satan. I only read what Jesus said. Jesus said, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. So every time you say, I'm just a man, you are just saying you are Satan. So you know, I'm just a man. I'm not... That means that anytime your mind is set on the things of man, you have now become an adversary to God. You are the one withstanding God. And it may be in your life. Ah, you know, this my financial problem is so big that nothing, even if God comes, he himself will be hooked. You are not even fighting God concerning your destiny. I want you to go to your office and give your boss a smile and say, welcome, sir. And this is the person that wants to sack you. He said, no, 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 no. Can you do that? Do you know how many of us have prayed against the people that want? He said, he prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemy. The only problem is that you are so concentrated on the enemy that you have forgotten what's on the table. The things of God. Tap somebody, say, climb up, climb up, climb up. Climb up. You are too earthly. We become earthly. Every time you start worrying, how many of you sometimes you can't sleep at night? You know, sometimes something just happens. To find sleep is a problem. Lift up your hand. To find sleep is a problem. Lift up your hand. To find sleep is a problem. You worry and worry and worry and things like this thing. By show of hand, you have told me you know how to meditate. You have told me you know how to meditate. Because worry is the opposite of meditation. Worrying, you are worrying about the things that the enemy is suggesting to you. It's not time to start worrying about the things God has said to you. Why don't you worry? Say, I can't sleep. Oh, I can't sleep. Why? Say, because I will have so much money. I can't find an accountant that can manage it. That is the way you can worry for God. I'm worried. Say, why are you worried? Say, because the blessing we receive in church today. I don't know what will happen. But you know what people worry about? When a juju man say, you go see. That's why you'll be calling everybody, say, now, wow. You are so worried about the juju man's statement. No. A blessing is more powerful than a curse. Repeat after me. A blessing is more powerful than a curse. For a curse is to a fourth generation. Blessing is 1,000. That means that even if the curse is operational, it has expiry date. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God will make you form the culture of heaven. You know how God operates. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:17, and that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The foundation of all knowledge is the knowledge of God. That's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, say, let's hear the conclusion of this whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. That's the conclusion. For the commands of God, 1 John chapter 5, is not grievous, it's not burdensome, it's for you. You might think that following God is key joy. Some people believe that. When you follow God, say, hey, I can't kiss small girls again. I can't kiss this thing. What waiting man can't leave? No small things to be doing. I can't shake my eye. And you will think that. You will think that you are enjoying. It's like a fish out of water jumping. No, it's not. It's not entertaining you. It's dying. What God, he gave us boundaries. Say, within the boundaries of this garden, you will thrive. Don't eat this fruit. So anytime God says don't, it's for your benefit. Don't love your enemies, it's for your benefit. Pray for those that despise you, it's for your benefit. And so you must understand this, is the knowledge of God. The Bible says, let no man glory in anything, but let him glory that he knows God. That he knows God. One of the culture we do here, that's why we have the culture of honor, is a free environment. We like to present a free environment. But the free environment is messy. It's messy. Sin the quisho. We don't want you to behave well. You know, some people, when they are in church, they behave well. You see them behaving well. No. In this culture, you will misbehave quickly. I'm telling you. We know whether you are a fighter, we call you fight. We know whether you used to, you will show. Because they don't they hold us here. Anything we lie, we talk. You are sick. In that culture, it's not about discipling your behavior, it's about discipling your spirit man. Because freedom is all about responsibility. It is more difficult to manage freedom than to manage bondage. When you are in prison, they will tell you when to wake up, they will give you uniform, they will give you everything, dictate your food. Some people cannot live outside that. Have you heard that people say, Pastor, don't even tell me what I will do. You are a prisoner. It's not about telling you what to do. It's teaching you how to think. Because Jesus said, I will not always be with you. So it's about discipling your spirit man. That you know that you will take responsibility, because every behavior, every action has consequences. Every action. Everything you do has consequences. People are reaping the consequences of their behavior. They will think it's devil that is punishing them. Never. They'll say, God, don't punish me. No, it's not God punishing you. For whatsoever you sow. No. So let's not confuse the judgment of God and the consequences of your behavior. It's your consequences. And so you must understand the knowledge of God. I will glory in the fact. It's not about the money in the bank. I know God. I know it will come true. I may not be married, but I will get married. I may not have children. The children are coming. I may have 4 children. Doesn't mean he will provide for me. Because many people think that the more children, the more poverty. Have you heard that statement? That's what they think. But you are now an adversary to God. Because he said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow. And children are a blessing from the Lord. All this population control is a sham. It's a lie. It's a lie. Say, you don't want more children. Okay. Since you don't want more children, you do business. Huh? Huh? You want 2 children. I give you 2 customers. Would that be okay for your business? Who will be your customers? The one where other people born. Listen. I'm not saying you go and have 5 children if you cannot. That's not what I'm saying. The question is that you are a people of his pasture. Have you ever asked God how many children you want me to deliver to you? We are the ones telling God, God, come. We'll give you 2 children, yeah? All kinds of things are here. That's why sometimes I say, what do you want to do? Because I can't be upstairs telling you that things are coming where you say for where you are blocked by the fence. I'm above the fence. So the only thing you can tell people, move up. Areas to infect this culture with. Areas I need to infect this culture of honor with. I need to infect it, first of all, with all people. That any person I come across with, because I think from heaven, I will honor them. Good morning, sir. Good morning. In some countries, they are arresting you. They are calling you, sir. In some countries, they arrest you. They first of all bust your head. No, don't call Nigeria. I say call some countries. Do you know why I'm arresting you, sir? Are you asking me why you're arresting me? Arrest me. That means that those people who are even wrong are honored. People cannot understand in this church why we just honor people. Because they don't even talk to me. They don't shout. Yesterday, somebody told me, say, why don't you shout? I say, shout. This thing that happened, is it my problem? He said, no. He said, but you just shout. All people. Recognize the value of every person. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Recognize the value of every person. If you recognize the value of your wife, you treat her well. If you recognize the value of your children, you treat them well. For those that lead businesses, if you recognize the value of your employee, and for those that are working under people, if you recognize the value of the person that is making sacrifice to employ you, you treat the person well. Recognize the value. Number 2, your spiritual family is where you infect the culture of honor. Your spiritual family. The Bible says love, continually show love to every believer. Continually show. When I'm talking about spiritual family, please get it out of your mind that I'm only talking about your church family. your local church. Every believer is every believer. You know, sometimes the way I see some of the way we swap aquarium, it used to bother me. We just swap. We are all in the same spiritual family. I remember one of us came to meet me and said, there's a church opposite my house. I just feel led to pay their light bill. I said, go ahead. They are part of us. Honor. Somebody came to meet me and said, I just feel led to buy cars, two cars for two people here. And one of them we delivered this morning in the first service. It's about the love. You know, you cannot calculate the generosity of a church by the offering and tithe on Sunday. What about the one you give to your neighbor? The one you give to your biological parents? I'm not saying that one is inclusive. Because what I see sometimes is that instead of me, I give shush, me, I go give beggar. I'll just be looking at them. How come when you have 10,000 and you have guys around you, you can spend 6,000, you won't be okay, you won't be fine? It says there's now only 6,000 now. Why do we always have problem with what to give to God? Say to Kiara. It has always been so. Adam had a problem with it. Why should I not eat it? It has always been so. And say, Pastor, you don't get angry when people don't give. No, I don't get angry. Will I be angry if you tell me now, say, Pastor, this month I won't go to the toilet? You see, I've decided I won't go to the toilet. Me? You will see. You say, Pastor, you won't be angry? I say, no. You say, bet me. Bet me. Bet me. Bet you? Go ahead. Will I suffer? 1 month, no toilet. You see. You were born naturally a giver. Naturally, it's your response. I need to show love to the believers I see. I need to honor them. I need to hug them. You see, one of the things that is so common here is that we have a very relaxed environment. The problem with that is that orphans can't handle it. Orphans can't handle it. You can only handle when I have four mopo following me. Then you now say, ha, Pastor, bless me. Because I have power over you. No. You can't handle it when they had to look for somebody within their midst to identify Jesus. We need to show honor to God and his delegated authority. We need to honor God. Listen, your own audience is the audience of one. It doesn't matter what is going on. Pray, read your Bible. People will laugh at you, but listen, you are not trying to please anybody. You're pleasing only one person. There are people that God will send your way. There's a fivefold ministry. They are the coaches of your life. Honor them. Honor them. Listen, their life may not be perfect, just as your own is not perfect too. They have some things to do in your life. The Bible says you honor them. Don't make their work to be grievous. I've seen people come to this church and they tell them, "How? What was you like in your former church?" I say, this. I say, you know what? You need to forgive. Go and tell the pastor that you are leaving the church. Because in there you have inheritance. God may have planted you there for a season. He may have planted you there for a reason. And they did some things in your life. You don't have to only honor your pastor. I've seen some people, if he is their pastor, they are honorable. If it's another pastor, you say, which kind of pastor it is? And I've seen that. I told people, I said, and they know in our office, if you come to see me and the pastor comes to see me, no matter where he is, he sees me first before you. It's not to dishonor you. Render honor to whom honor is due. And it doesn't matter whether they are here or somewhere else. Saul may have lost the throne, but there's still anointing upon his head. In 1 Peter 3 says, live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Do you know if you respect, if you are connecting to God, you also connect to the people and honor the people that has dedicated over you. Say, receive a prophet in the prophet's name and you'll get the prophet's reward. No doubt, are they fake? Yes. Anytime you see fake, be jumping and happy, because it validates that it's original. How many of you have seen a fake 3 naira note? Raise up your hand. So if you see a fake prophet, just look where you see a genuine prophet. And the problem you should be asking yourself, why are you always meeting fake prophets? Is there a connection between you and them? Are you a fake believer? We should be asking. Earthly kings, government. How many of you insult governor and president? When he say honor leaders, when Peter was writing this, it's Nero, the wicked king. He said, honor them. Honor them. Honor your rulers. Do you know what he said in Romans chapter 13? He said, they are ministers of God. And you know what he went on to say? He said, render fear to whom fear is due. Oh, you don't know? Render fear. Three disciples. Oh, God. Render fear to whom fear is due. And I see the way people insult. My wife raised a prayer point today that president, they have said he should extend his stay because of her treason. So people look at, say, let's pray. Listen, the way God rules a country is quite different from the way he rules a church. The reason why many of you cannot be in authority, you are too churchified. You are too churchified. Nebuchadnezzar, you know what? If you read that scripture I read, go and read it. He says, is it not God that has exalted you and made you king of kings? Nebuchadnezzar is God that gave him king of kings. So during the election, when I hear people saying no title things, I ask myself, did they even pray at all? Or is it because if the other person win, they will gain? It's not whether God will gain now. It's not whether God will gain. It's whether my own will gain. God, you can sort yourself out, but me? And so we don't value. The Bible says, it was writing to his son Timothy. He said, most of all, 1 Timothy 2:1-4, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayer and request as you intercede with intense passion. And pray for every political leader and representative so that we'll be able to live tranquil and undisturbed lives as we worship the all-inspiring God with pure hearts. It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them. That means that God is pleased if you pray for them. Hey, no president died for you. Only Jesus died for you. This is the instruction. He longs for everyone to embrace his life and return to the full knowledge of the truth. Why did he say you should pray? He wants peace on earth. Just imagine if your president go mad. Just imagine. Then he starts signing anything. You see the way we think. Because we actually believe that if a believer is there, all will be well. Just imagine a believer that is earthly. Will you pray for the president today? The way they are live streaming. I'm not preaching any. I'm preaching what God is saying, not what your sentiments are saying. When he says, Cyrus, my anointed. Cyrus was a pagan king. The only thing is that we have not asked ourselves, why did you put him there? And lastly, we should be honoring to the earth. Is it earth? Yes. Every time I see people using their water to baptize flower in the corner, my heart sinks. Even if you are looking at them, they will be looking at you. Why are you looking at me? Do you know that God even says that your connection with me should also reflect in your connection with the creating, the creation? In Genesis 2:15, it said the Lord God, it's not first Genesis, so it's Genesis, sorry. Before you now say, Pastor, you said a scripture, first Genesis. I've been looking for it since. It's Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. He took him to take care of it. You know, some of us think it's not our responsibility to sweep the earth, to plant flowers, to make it. You know, it's not our responsibility. We can put you pass dirty effortlessly. You drink this thing, you put it on the floor. Some of us think like that. Some of us do not think that we need to honor the environment. The Hebrew word translated work in this verse is abad, which means to serve. It says serve the earth. That's this where other people have taken it wrongly. They are not calling Mother Earth. No. It's the abuse of it. The phrase take care of it comes from the word shama, which indicates a loving, caring, sustaining type of keeping. Can you honor the earth? You know, I said we are coming for this culture of honor because we think that it's only for human beings. The way some of us will slap dog. No, that some people take it too far. They will give dog money than human beings. No, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. We need to honor the earth. Stop urinating outside. When you have toilet inside your house, you have toilet inside, you come outside. Because that's where you receive breeze. Rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. Everywhere in this church has dustbin. There's no, most of the corners have dustbins. But I still come into church. Just imagine where you serve the Lord. You can't even try it in the house of Ogun. You know that Ogun will just strike you. That's what people believe. They just say, God is loving. God is loving. Even if I misbehave, he will still love me. You come out of your house, you see in your office, you see death on the floor, pick it up. We don't have drainage in this country. When you are leaving this hall today, check. Don't put chewing gum under the chair. Do you know in Singapore they ban chewing gum? Sorry, chewing gum, not chewing gum. Chewing gum. They ban it because they just put it anywhere as if it's decoration. wrap it in a piece of paper, wrap it in a tissue, dispose it. So that you honor the earth and take care of it. Get to some houses, plant flowers around your houses to renew and bring freshness. As you give on carbon dioxide, the plant gives you oxygen. There's that exchange. I want you to hold somebody's hand. Hold your brother's hands and just pray. Lord, help us to be host of your culture, the culture of honor. Help us to be host of the culture of honor. Help us. I want you to pray for you. Pray loud. Let the person that's saying hear you. Help my brother to be a host. Help my sister to be a host. That our natural response and action will be to honor people. Our natural response will be to honor people. That our community, even the house we live in, our neighbors will know. Our neighbors will know that we just honor people. That we just honor people. Come on, lift up your voice. 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 That our family will be a family of honor.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.